So today's daf is daf Mem Dalid. We had gotten up to yesterday Mem Gimel Amid Beis, page 43b. So we can start again at the Mishnah just to get back into the flow of things on 43b. The Mishnah teaches Hamocher Avdol Obdei Kochavim, an Eved Kenani is obligated in some mitzvos. So if someone sells his Eved Kenani to a non-Jew, he just did an Aveira, because now the non-Jew is not going to encourage him to do mitzvos. He's going to make it hard for him to do mitzvos. So the sages punish him. Same would be if somebody sells his Eved Kenani lechutzlar, it's outside of the land of Israel. Now he's not going to be able to do as many mitzvos. The sages punish everyone involved in the deal. Yatzel Cheirus, Yatzel Ben Chorin, they say that this slave has now gone free. And they punish the people involved in the deal. Says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanu Lintin Abraisa, Hamocher Avdo, Lo'ovdei Kochavim. If a person sells his slave to non-Jews, and now the non-Jews are not going to let him do so many mitzvahs. Yatzel Cheirus. So that's it. He's gone free. And he's not going to go back to work for that original owner. But Sarach get Shichur Merabo Rishon. He still needs a deed of freeing from that original owner. Because even though the sages are saying he's taken away from the buyer, but still, his personal status is that of an Eved. To be able to marry a Jewish woman, he needs a document to turn him into a full-fledged Jew. Amar Reb Shimon Gamliel, Reb Shimon Gamliel said, "But medvar amurim, when does he need such a document? Shelo kasav alav ono. If that original owner hasn't already given him the document, avol kasav alav ono. But if the original owner already has given him the document, zehu shichruro, he's already been freed. My ono, what does it mean? This original, well, how could the original owner have already given him the shtar shichur? Amar Reb Sheshes, Reb Sheshes said, the kasav lehachi could write the following." Once you get out of that person who bought you, I'm freeing you, I've got nothing to do with you. So once he says, I have nothing to do with you, he's already freed him. So then once he leaves that buyer, who's the non-Jew, who the sages say he should leave him because the buyer has no right to purchase him, he's already a full-fledged Jew. Let's say a Jewish owner of a slave borrows money from a non-Jew, and he makes the slave the guarantor. He says, listen, if I don't pay back, you're taking the slave. So now, once the non-Jew takes the slave, so now he's taking him out of mitzvos. That's the violation here. So, Kevin Shasla over Kochav Nimusa, once this Gentile lender does his Nimus to the slave, Yatzel Cheirus. At that point, the non-Jew is taking the Eved Kenani. That's already the violation of the rabbinic law that we don't want our slaves in the hands of the non-Jews who are going to make it hard for them to keep mitzvos. Then the rabbis say he goes free. My nimusa, what is this nimusa that he did? Amar Rav Huna Bar Yehuda Nashki, he puts on a seal onto the slave, you're now mine. So Masav Rav Sheshes, Rav Sheshes challenged this definition of nimusa as being a seal. We learned Ha'arisin, Jews, who are sharecroppers, they've taken a field from a non-Jew, they're going to work it, and they're going to get a portion of the yield. Or hachakiros, Jews, who are renting a field from a non-Jew, and they're paying a set amount every year of the yield back to the owner. Or arise beis avos, the sharecroppers, who their fathers were also sharecroppers. Or Ovid Kochavin Shem Mishkin Sadeh Israel, or a non-Jew who had made his field the guarantor for a loan that he owed to a Jew. Afal Pisha Asaloni Musa, even though the non-Jew has made a nimus to the field, Peturim and Amaisa, these fields don't belong to Jews, and since they don't belong to Jews, they are exempt from Meiser. Now, one second, Yisak Adai Tech Nashki, if you're going to talk about a seal, Sadabas Nashki. You put a seal on a field. What does that mean? Elam Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes said, no, Nimuso doesn't mean a seal. Nimuso means man. There's a certain time that was set. In other words, the case of the loan with the Eved was, the owner of the slave borrowed money, and he said, if I don't pay you in a year's time, then you take the slave. The case of the field with Nimuso is again where he had borrowed money from a non-Jew, and he said, if I don't pay you in a year's time, you take my field. So once that year is up, so the non-Jew now has taken at that point we say that the field is considered the non-Jews, we say that the slave is considered the non-Jews, therefore the slave goes free, and the field doesn't have an obligation of maestros from it. So Gemara says, really? If that's the case, then we have a problem. Kashyazman azman. We have a contradiction of time to time. Because here in the first price it says that once the the time comes for the slave to be taken, it's already considered that he's taken. And whereas in the second brisa, where we say, Ovid Kochavim Shemishkein Sadeu Li Yisrael, the Ovid Kochavim has made his field a guarantor to the Jews, to the loan that he got from the Jew, Afal Pisha Saloni Musa, even though the time has arrived, still, Pturim and Amaiser. So that means that the time arriving doesn't yet transfer ownership. So we have a contradiction, whether once the time arrives, the ownership is transferred or not. So the Gemara answers, Lo Kasha, it's not a contradiction. Hadamatazmane, Hadalomatazmane. In the case of the slave, the time for the payment of the loan has arrived. Therefore, the slave is considered now given to the non-Jew. Now he goes free. In the case of the field of the Jew, it's when the time has not yet arrived for the non-Jew to collect it. So the Gemara says, Ela gabe evid, if that's the case in regards to the slave, dematazmane, tzricha lemeimar, if the time has already arrived, of course, the slave has now been taken from the Jew to the non-Jew, so he should go free. So the Gemara says, no, ela idivi idi delomatazimne. Both prices are talking about where the time has not arrived. The lo kasha, and it's still not a contradiction. Ha legufa. The case of the slave was that the borrower said, if I don't pay you, the non-Jew, back on time, then the slave becomes yours. So if that's what happened, so till that time, I'm allowing the non-Jew already to work the slave. It's just that his body is going to become the possession of the non-Jew once the time arrives. But once the non-Jew is working the slave, so now the slave's not going to be able to keep mitzvos. So therefore, he goes free. In the case of the brisa, was when he said, the field is never going to be yours. It's that the once the time arrives, then the lender will be able to collect the fruits. So therefore, till that has happened, the field is not yet considered his.
But this field is out of Israel, am I right?
No, this is talking about in Israel.
The field,
yeah, in Israel.
Owned by a non-Jew in Israel.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in today's daf. We'll see why
and
that's problematic.
Also, what happens if he borrows the money for a mitzvah, for example, to build a shul,
yeah,
or somebody's sick in the family,
right?
And he gives the slave as a collateral to the non-Jew.
Still a problem.
So now, which one is more mitzvah?
No, but it's still a problem because he's causing this slave to lose his chance to fulfill mitzvahs. So
if he wants to take the money and build a shul,
doesn't matter.
Which one is the better mitzvah?
He can't do it. Mitzvah coming through a sin. He can't do it.
Cannot.
No.
Okay.
The Ibay Yisema, alternatively, we can tell you, Bishalav Almanas Lamashkino. He borrowed money from this non-Jew with the stipulation that if I don't pay back by a certain time, you can go and seize the slave, or you can go seize the field. Velo mishkano, but the non-Jew hasn't yet done it. So in regards to the field, since the non-Jew hasn't yet taken it, so therefore, or the case, let's say, where the Jew lent the money to the non-Jew, and he said, the non-Jew said, you could seize it on a certain date. So since the Jew could seize it, but he hasn't yet seized it, so therefore, it's still pater from Meiser, because the Jew hasn't yet seized it. But in regards to the slave, once the non-Jew has the ability to seize the slave, even though he hasn't actually seized him, this slave already is about to leave the ability to fulfill mitzvos, and already the rabbis have created the fine to take away the slave from the Jew and the non-Jew.
He still can do the mitzvah.
He can.
Maybe it'll be paid by the time
right. that happens. But maybe in terms of the rabbis getting upset because they don't want, they didn't want these business arrangements because they don't want situations of that are gonna where people are doing business and causing their friends not to fulfill mitzvos. So they'd already hear we're taking him away. So they already they took him away. Tana Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a brisa. Givo b'chovo. Let's say a non-Jew had lent money to a Jew, and the Jew doesn't pay back, and the non-Jew goes and seizes the slave as the payment of the loan. Oh, shalakho sikrikon. Or let's say there is a Gentile murderer, and he's going around extorting money, and the Jew gives him the slave to save his life. So then, lo yatsa l'cheres. In those situations, the slave doesn't go free, because it's not the Jew's fault. You know, he wouldn't have given the slave. The non-Jew grabbed him, or he wanted to save his life. So that's not when the rabbi said, well, you're going and selling someone and causing him to not to perform mitzvah, so you're going to be punished. He didn't do anything. It wasn't his fault. Is that so? Ubechovo lo, if a non-Jew seizes a Jew to pay off a loan, seizes a slave to pay off the loan, the slave doesn't go free. Or Mini, I'll challenge you from the following. Hare shan sube samelech. Gorno, let's say the Gentile's palace, namely the king, came and grabbed the wheat that the Jew has already turned into a pile. Once a Jew makes a pile of his wheat, he has to separate Meiser from it. So let's say the police came and they grabbed the pile of wheat. In Bechovo, if they took it because I owed money, Chayev La'aser, I have to still separate Meiser from it. Now I can't because the wheat is gone. So I have to find other wheat and say some of the other wheat is Meiser for that pile that was taken from me. Because since the king took my wheat, and by taking that wheat, I now no longer have to pay the loan, that's considered a sale. And so I took wheat that was chayev in Meiser and I sold it. So I still need to separate Meiser for it. However, in Ban Parus, if the non-Jewish king just grabbed the wheat, even though I didn't owe him any money, now Pater Melaser, I do not need to separate Meiser for that wheat. Then I don't need to separate Meiser for it. So we have here a problem. The beginning of the Brisa is, if the king came and grabbed something against my will for a loan, that's considered a sale. So if that's considered a sale, then I have to still separate Meiser for it. So the same thing should be true with a slave, that if a non-Jewish lender grabbed my slave for the loan, that should be considered a sale, and the slave should go free. So Gemara says, no, shiny hasam, there where we talk about wheat is different, to come ishtar shile. I'm benefiting from the fact that my wheat was taken, because now I don't have to pay back the loan, and I'm able to keep cash in my hands to use for business things. But in regards to the lender grabbing the slave, there it's different, because the whole issue in regards to the slave is not that I got benefit. The problem with the slave is that I caused him to leave mitzvos. But here, I didn't cause him to leave mitzvos. The non-Jew made him leave mitzvos. So therefore, I shouldn't lose my ownership of the slave.
But it's because he didn't pay. So this is
interesting. Right. Still, I didn't want it. You know, I would have
Right, you wouldn't
maybe
want
I would have paid.
You would have paid it.
Maybe I would have paid.
Right.
All right, it's a good question. Again, so we just said that if a non-Jewish lender, against the will of the owner, grabs the slave, that's not considered the slave being sold, and the slave doesn't go free. Tashma, come in here, approve. What about Amar Rav? Rav said, Amocher avdo lefarhang oved kochav. I'm a person who sells his slave to this Gentile pressure master. You know, it's a guy who put a false claim against me, and I therefore sold the slave to pay off this false claim. Yatzel lecheirus, the slave goes free. So you see that even though I didn't want to do it, it wasn't my willful decision, still the slave goes free. So the Gemara says, Hasam, havli the fais v'lo piyasei. So there you get Lloyd's answer. He should have given him money. You know, he should have paid him off somehow. The fact that he said, okay, so here's the slave, that's already why he gets punished. Hufu we learned before him, a rav said, Amocher avdol lefarhang oved kochav. Let's say a non-Jewish, you know, mafioso comes and makes a false claim against me, and I say, okay, here's my slave to you. Yatzel lecheirus, the slave goes free. So the Gemara said, what do you mean? But my havalei lemebed, what else could I have done? Answers the Gemara, havalei lefais v'lo piyes, I should have paid him off with money. And since I didn't pay him off with money, and instead I said, okay, so take the slave for this false claim, therefore I'm doing something wrong, putting a slave out of mitzvos, and therefore the sages punish and make him go free.
Rabbi, what happens to the status of the slave that's being acquired by a Gentile? Is this that slave a Jew? Right, a slave with a Jew is a Jew in training, right?
So yeah, he's still a Jew in training, right? The sages now have taken him away from the Gentile. And that's what we said. The original owner has to give a shtar shichur to free him.
And if he's with the Gentile, if he's held by the Gentile, is
we're assuming
acquired by the Gentile?
Well, if there's a Jewish government, they would take him away from the Gentile. Boy, Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, "Machara l'shloshim yom." What happens if the Jewish owner sells the slave only for 30 days to the Gentile? Mahu is the 30-day term where he's not going to be able to fulfill mitzvos already at variance with what the rabbis want, and therefore they're going to make him go free, or maybe not. Maybe only a permanent term. Tashma, come in here. Damar Rav said, "Amoch Rav l'farhang of l'chochavim yatzel l'cheres." A Jew who sells his non-Jewish slave to a Gentile, you know, a false claim generator, the slave goes free. So isn't that also only for a period of time? So no, maybe parhangovet kocham sheino chozeres. Maybe that was where he sold him to the non-Jewish slave, to the non-Jewish, you know, guy, mafioso, and he's never letting him go. All right, next question. Macharo chutz mimalachto. Let's say a Jew sells the slave, but he sold him only in terms of his body, right? He sold this slave to the non-Jew, that the non-Jew could use the slave to create children, but the work is still going to be for the Jew. So mahu, what's the halacha? So maybe since that non-Jew can't make him work on Shabbos, I'm not causing him to lose out on mitzvos, and then the sages won't take him away from us. Or I sold him to the non-Jew chutz min ha-mitzvos, but the non-Jew is not allowed to do anything that will cause him not to fulfill mitzvos. Mahu, what would the halacha be then? Or chutz min Shabbos is v'yom tovim. I sold this Eved Kanani to the non-Jew, but he can't work him on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Mahu. Or I sold him to a non-Jew who's a righteous Gentile who fulfills the seven mitzvos b'nei Noach. L'ger Toshav. Or I sold him to a Jew, but the Jew's not keeping mitzvos. L'Yisrael Mumer. Mahu. Or I sold him Lakuti, I sold him to a Samaritan. Mahu, what's the halacha? So Gemara says, Pshot miyachad, at least one we can answer. If he sold the Jew to a Ger Toshav, if he sold the slave to the Ger Toshav, Hareyu Kovit Kochavim, that's like selling him to a non-Jew, because the Ger Toshav's not keeping Shabbos, he's going to make this Gentile slave also violate Shabbos, and that's when the sages make their rule that he forfeits the ownership. Next questions. Kuti v'Yisrael Mumer. If he sold the Eved Kanani to a Samaritan or to a Jew who's not observant, Amri la kovet kochavim. Some say, okay, that's already at variance with what the rabbis have said. If an Eved Kanani is sold to a non-Jew, he goes free. Amri la ki Yisrael. Some say he's like a Jew and he doesn't yet go free. Bomi name Rav Ami. They asked another question of Rav Ami. Evet shipel atzmo legayasos. Let's say a slave goes and hands himself over to Gentile soldiers. And the master can't get him out with either a Jewish court or a non-Jewish court. And now these soldiers say, you know what, we'll pay you for this slave. Can he accept payment? Or is it, if accepting payment is already the violation of what the rabbi said, don't sell your slaves to the non-Jews? So Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Zrika, "Puk ayin b'mechiltech, go look at your laws and try to figure it out from the traditions that you have." Nafak Rabbi Zrika went out. He looked carefully, vashach, and he found a source. Tanya lent in a brisa, "Hamocher beiso lo vid kochavim." If a Jew sells his house in the land of Israel to a non-Jew, which is a violation of the Torah, because the Torah says, "Lo sechanim," don't give to the non-Jews a portion in the land. So then, dam avasur, the money that he was supposed to get for that house is prohibited. He can't get benefit from it. And if a non-Jew steals a house from a Jew, vein baal of yachalot zio, and the Jew can't get it away from that non-Jew, lo b'dini yisrael, lo b'dini of the kochavim, neither with Jewish law nor with non-Jewish law. But this non-Jew says, "Listen, I'll give you the money for it." Mutar litul istamav. He's allowed to accept the money. The kosev, and he can write a deed of sale to this non-Jew. Umale berko shalohem, and he could even bring it up to their courts to validate it. Mipnei shukematzel miyadav. At least he's saving some money from them, you know, because here they already stole his house. At least let him get reimbursed. So you see, the same way we're not allowed to sell houses in Israel, and yet if it was done against our will, we're allowed to accept payment. So the same thing would be with the non-Jewish slave. I'm not allowed to sell the non-Jewish slave to a non-Jew. But if the non-Jewish slave went and he put himself into the hands of the soldiers, and now I can't get him away from the soldiers, and the soldiers are willing to pay, I should be willing to accept payment. Maybe it's not a proof. The Dilma Hani Mili bias. Maybe the rabbi said that once the house was taken against your will, you could accept payment for it. The Kevin Lo Sagi lay below bias. No one can live without a house. Lo Asil Zabune. We're not worried that if we allow him to take payment, he's going to turn around and start selling his houses in Israel to Goyim. Aval Avda, but when we deal with a non-Jewish slave, the Sagi lay below Avda. A person can live without a slave. Then Asil Zabune. Then we're worried that maybe if we're worried that he, if we allow him to take money, then he might also go and start selling the slaves deliberately. Hello? Or maybe we're not worried that he's going to go do it. So Shalach Lu Rav Ami, Rav Ami sent to them the following answer. Mini, from me, Ami Bar Nasan, Torah Yotzal Yisrael, the ruling should go out to the Jewish people. If the slave put himself into the hands of soldiers, and the master can't get him out, with any laws, he's allowed to accept payment for the slave. And he can validate that shtar, he can validate the deed of sale, because he's just saving the money from them. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught, Hamocher avdol over the kochavim, if a person sells his slave to non-Jewish owners, konsen oso, we say to this Jew, you better buy him back, ad mea bedamav, even 100 times what he's worth. Dafka, 100 times exactly, but not more than that. Oh, lav dafka, or maybe it's not particular, he's just saying till 100 times, but 100 times really doesn't have to pay back so much. It just means a lot more than what he's worth. He has to buy him back. Tashma coming here, Domer Rish Lakish said, Amocher Beim Agasel Ovid Kochavim. We know you're not allowed to sell a cow to a non-Jew, because if you sell a cow to a non-Jew, we're worried that you might start renting cows to non-Jews, and Jewish cows have to keep Shabbos. And if you rent Jewish cows to non-Jews, they're going to work them on Shabbos. So we learned, if somebody sells a behema gasa to Ovid Kochavim, konsen oso arasar bedamea, we fine him. He has to buy the cow back up to 10 times its value. So you see that when the sages said you have to buy back, it's only up to 10 times, not 100 times. So 100 times, it was said earlier, wasn't literal. So Gemara says, no, v'dil mashani eved, chol yom av yom amafkali mitzvos. Maybe when a slave, every day, he's not doing mitzvos, so he has to pay him back even 100 times his value. But with a cow that it's only, you know, it's going to lead to things that are problematic, we don't make him buy it back at 100 times its value. Ikadami, others say, I'm Rabbi Yishu ben Levi. Rabbi Yishu ben Levi said, I'm Ochav de Lov de Kochavim. If a person sells his slave to the non-Jews. So the rabbis are upset because he's causing the slave not to keep mitzvos. Konsen Oso Adasar B'dama. They make him buy him back, even if it's the price is 10 times his value. So did he mean dafka, exactly 10 times, or lav dafka, or maybe not exactly 10 times? He meant just, you know, a lot. Maybe even more than 10 times he has to buy him back. More than 10 times the value. Tashma, come in here, damer Shlakish. Shlakish said, amoche beim agasal ovet kochavim kosan osad mea bedamea. According to this version, Rish Lakish said, if somebody sold a fat animal, right, a cow to the non-Jews, and he violated the rabbinic law that you're not allowed to sell the cows to the non-Jews, he has to buy back the cow even up to 100 times its value. So if the cow has to be bought back by 100 times of its value, the slave also should have to be bought back 100 times of his value. So the question is, maybe, no, there's a difference. Maybe shiny eved lo hadarle. Maybe a slave is different because when you sold the slave to the non-Jews and you buy him back, he doesn't go back to being a slave. He goes free. Whereas when you sell a cow to the non-Jews and you buy it back, the cow goes back to you. So maybe with the slave that he's going to go free, the rabbis didn't say he has to pay him, he has to buy him back at such an inflated price. Ella, 1 second. Behema taima maimashim dahadrale. I understand. If you're saying that the fact that the slave, the animal is coming back to him, so he's not losing as much as with the slave. Therefore, it should be bought back even 100 times its worth, whereas the slave only 10 times his worth. If you're saying that the animal is coming back, we can't say tfei chad, so let him say the slave you buy back 11 times his worth, and the animal 10 times its worth, because 10 times its worth plus the fact you get the animal itself.
What happened to the slave being able to build the mitzvahs?
Right.
There must be a value associated with that.
No, exactly. That's exactly why we're so upset, and we say he has to buy him back.
But more than the cow.
Right, but that the slave should be 10 times more than the cow? Doesn't make sense. So Gemara says, Ela eved milsed lo shchicha. A slave being sold to a non-Jew is unlikely. And since it's a milsed lo shchicha, lo gazer bar rabban, and the rabbis didn't have to make rules about it. And therefore they said you can buy him back for 10 times his value. They didn't say you have to buy him back for 100 times his value. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked the question of Ravasi. Machar Avdo, let's say a person sells his slave to a non-Jew. And now a mace, and now he died. Do we say that his children have to buy him back? So maybe we can prove it from Bechoros. We learned that an animal, the firstborn animal, is a Bechor. And that firstborn animal is prohibited. It has to be a carbon, unless it gets a blemish. So what happens if a Kohen put the blemish onto the animal? So if he did that, we said he's not allowed to ever slaughter the animal. So what about the following? Im timtzalomar tzaram ozen b'chor. If a Kohen cut off a little bit of the ear of the b'chor, of the firstborn animal, umeis, and then he died. So we know that he's in his lifetime, he wouldn't be able to eat this animal. So what about Kansu b'no Achrav? If you're going to say that they said that his child also can't benefit from the animal, maybe there was Mishum D'Yisura D'Oraisi, because he violated a biblical law of putting a blemish onto the Bechor. Avol Hacha, but in regards to selling a slave to non-Jews, which is only Yisura D'Rabbanan, maybe we don't punish the child. Vim Tim Salomar. So you say, okay, I'll tell you what the source is. Maybe you can bring a proof from the laws of Chalamoed, you're only allowed to do work which is Davra Avid, which would cause a loss if you didn't do it. Okay. So we learned that if Kivin Malachto B'moed, if he did work that sort of set up his field that there's going to be a loss if he doesn't do work on Chol HaMoed. So then we said, if you set up your field, you're not allowed to do the work on Chol HaMoed. But then Umeis, and then he died. So then Lo Kansu B'no Achrav, we know that we don't make the child lose, and we say that the child could do the work on Chol HaMoed. Maybe there is Mishum De Lo Avad Isura. He hasn't yet done a prohibition, because he hasn't yet worked on Chol HaMoed. But Hachabad over here, where the father did a prohibition, he sold the slave to the non-Jews, that's already an act that's prohibited. Might. So here's our question. The Didei Kansu Rabbanim, maybe the rabbis only punish him, and they make him buy him back, and they make him lose the money. But he's already gone, because he died. Maybe the rabbis, when a person sells a slave, they put a fine on his property. And he has property, and therefore his child should have to redeem the slave, and the slave should go free. So Amalei, Rav Asi answered to Rav Yirmiyahu, we had it in a Mishnah.